Okay, my name is David Barnes. I am from Wilson, North Carolina. I grew up in Elm City. My parents were Minnie and Lucian Barnes, and they sharecropped, and I have lots of stories.
I'm Alyssa Betts, okay. And this is Noah Kraft in Ross Center. Do you remember a family doctor who cared for you in your youth or later in your life that you liked?
I did. Dr. Hunter was my personal doctor as a baby and all the way up until I got married. He gave me my physical when I got married.
What was it about the doctor that you admired or appreciated?
Oh, he was just a real friendly guy. Knew all of his people by name. Very loving and caring. Except he wouldn't sign for me to play college football because I had epilepsy. Mm-hmm. But he kept me out of Vietnam. At the same time, because he 4F'd me.
As she said, my name's Noah. Do you remember if a doctor ever made a house call to your home?
I was the only one born at home. In the hospital. Mm-hmm. All my brothers and sisters were born at home. My older brother, a unique story about him was, born in March, when they had one of them tremendous large snows, and the transportation was by horse. And the snow was nearly up to the horse's stomach when he had to come. My dad had to go get him and bring him for my mom, for my older brother to be born.
And are you the youngest?
I am the youngest by 21 years.
Wow.
I never lived in the same house with my oldest brother. He was married by the time I was born.
Country doctors are often appreciated because of the deeply familiar relationships they have with their patients. Is the doctor-patient relationship important to you?
Very important.
How does this rank with other attributes such as doctor's technical skills, availability, or reputation?
I like a doctor that has a care and compassion for his people. Some doctors are just really straight-faced, all business. You go in, they give you the details and talk over your head. I like the doctor that breaks it down to my level and explains to me what's going on and what I've got. And of course, you want him to have the knowledge and technical skills he needs to be able to talk to you and take care of you and treat you.
What attributes do you look for from your healthcare team?
When I go in, I'm glad when I know they know what my records is. They pulled it up. They know my details about why I'm there. And today's world, it's neat because you can go from one doctor to another doctor. They all put it up on computers, so they got all your stuff. And so I like to know that the doctor knows when I'm in there, that he knows who I am and what's going on with me.
And is compassion or other virtuous character traits important?
Yes, so far as compassion and stuff and care, I think it makes you relax you, makes you feel better, more comfortable with the doctor, and makes you feel that he really cares about you, not just in and out 15 minutes and I got to get you out of here.
Yes, sir.
Some people describe the work of a family physician to be partly as a medical guide or educator for their patients. Have you seen this trait with your doctor?
Read that one more time for me. I got my hearing aids, got to tune them up.
Some people describe the work of a family physician to be partly as a medical guide or educator for their patients. Have you seen this trait with your doctor?
Yes. Doctor, I have given them a lot of details, tell them what's going on, what the best things is, what his recommendations would be, and gives me an understanding and then a choice about do you want to do this or not do this.
Do you think this aspect would be helpful to learn about your diagnosis or available treatments?
Yes, I think so. But the more you understand about whatever you've got, and the more knowledge you have about it, then the more likely you are to follow the doctor's recommendations, even though I don't always do that.
What do you think is the biggest change from the doctors like when you were younger versus now? Obviously, like besides technology.
I think there's so much, most of the doctors now are so busy, so inclined, you just become a number to them. Rotates you in and out, gets you in and out, where back when the doctors in those days made the house calls, amazing thing back in those days, a lot of times the doctor got paid, but hey, we got a chicken out here, and they give him a chicken for his visit and stuff. And but so, a lot of your doctors have just got so, it's still about cold in some cases with some doctors I've seen, that you're just there to diagnose you and get you out of here.
Well, do you think, obviously it's more efficient nowadays, but do you think that's a problem, that they're just like more just oriented towards strictly business?
I think so. I think it's lost some of the profession. I think it's lost some of the treatment, because the technology's got so much that when the average person like me goes in, a lot of doctors talk over your head. You know, you don't really know what it is, and they've only got that little time, you know, get in and get out. But that guy that rode that horse out to my parents' house, he had time to sit there and talk before he got on that horse and rode again.
Do you remember any like natural remedies? Like, obviously nowadays there's a lot of pills and artificial things that are made in a factory that's supposed to make you feel better. Do you remember any like natural remedies that you guys would find or doctors would recommend that you would take?
Yeah, they came up with all kinds of things like Vicks vapor, you know, Vicks rub on your chest and stuff, and some of the old things that the older parents would do as far as treating colds and coughs and stuff like that. The hot pads they put on you and stuff, plaster they put on you, and I've never experienced to it, but I do know a lot of the roots and herbs and stuff that they used to use. He can fix that and treat them and give it to people.
And you were growing up in a time, I'm assuming, like when or is this before your time, like polio and things like that? Do you remember having to get shots to protect yourself from that?
Yep, had to get the shots for all that stuff coming up. Still got the scar on.
And was that a big deal?
Not at the time. I mean, it just was something everybody did, you know, right. and what have you.
Would you compare that to like the COVID that we had recently?
In a way, because it was such a mass of it taking over and stuff, and not knowing where it came from and what caused it made a big difference to it, and the fear of how crippling it was to the kids that had it and stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah.
What were some other like diseases that y'all had then that we don't have now?
The smallpox, the chicken pox, the measles were all big when I came along and stuff.
And was there a lot of propaganda around those diseases, or not really?
No.
Was there around polio?
The best I can remember, you know, most of my time was hearing about it and talked about it and stuff, about how devastating it was and stuff.
Do you remember any, like, first-hand experiencing people that had polio?
No, not so far as being able to talk to them about it. I've met some people that had it, still had a limp or whatever, out of it, they said it because of the polio they had and stuff. But nobody in my family had the polio, so I didn't have to be in touch.
And for your guys' doctor when you were younger, was it the same doctor that like accompanied all the people around you?
Yes. And he was the same doctor for everything. If it was a cold, you broke your arm, whatever it was, you had the same doctor.
And he was the same doctor for pregnancies and stuff like that as well?
Yep. Same doctor did. Your general doctor did it all. You didn't have all the specialists that he sent you to now. And what have you.
Was it a lot cheaper back then?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And did y'all have, like, insurance back then on, like, for medical insurance? Or was it strictly out of pocket?
There was some that had insurance, and most of it was out of pocket and stuff. And my mom actually had seven major operations and had a brain tumor before I was born. She must have been about 40 years old when that happened. And my dad took her to Wilson, Rocky Mount, Greenville, Raleigh, and she would have these really bad headaches and do crazy stuff. And they all told him she was just going insane. She needed to be put in an institution. My dad didn't have the heart to do that. He heard about a doctor in Norfolk, Virginia. He borrowed a car, took her to Norfolk, Virginia. And the doctor there examined her and told him he agreed about the headaches. And that what was happening as it progressed, she had a tumor in her brain. And as it was going to get to the point that The headaches would never go away, but she would be like that. And unless he did an operation. And she said, what kind of operation? He asked, I got to drill 3 holes in your head. And he said, but the chances of me doing it and you walking out here completely normal and not, me not messing up anything at this time would probably be 1 in 1,000. And she said, what happens if I don't take it? He said, then it's going to progress and you will be that pain and stuff all the time as it grows. My mom said, I'll take the 1 in 1,000 chances. So the next day they pushed her up to a window. He drilled us 3 holes in her head. And was successful. She lived to be, I think, 85.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
When just before she died, and I took care of her and would help wash her hair and all after she had strokes, I could still feel those 3 little spots and dentures. I was said, Mom, you got a bone ball here. For those little dots were because where the skull where you penetrate, you can still tell the crew 3 holes.
So, do you guys have some questions?
So as technology has like advanced in healthcare, have you gained or lost trust?
Yeah. So technology's come a long way on doing stuff now. And I mean, it amazes me when I was just talking to somebody yesterday how with your eye, how they do cataract surgery now with lasers. Mm-hmm. You know, how they can now do appendages and stuff without opening you up. Because, you know, the technology of how they, what used to be major surgeries and still are major surgeries, but when you had to cut through the muscles so much, it was the healing process of the muscles coming back, and now they've figured out ways to go in and do that stuff without doing all that. And so, yes, medicine's come a long ways. It sure has. Yeah.
Do you think that doctors used to be more hands-on with patients than they are now with all the technology and stuff?
Should be more what now?
Hands-on with their patients.
I do, yeah. I'm just a personal person. I want the personal contact. I want to know who I'm talking to. I want to know him. I'm a pastor, and I want my people to know me, not only in the pulpit. That's why at church, when people visit our church, I always invite them out to lunch. Don't know me just in the pulpit. I want to know you, and you know me as a person. And I think that makes it more comfortable when you get to know your doctors like that. I've been blessed in my life to know a couple of doctors like that, and my kids' doctors. I have real good relationships with them.
And is your doctor now based out of Wilson?
Yes. Yep. But the amazing thing now is, as I said, when I was a kid, the doctor that had birthed my brothers and sisters, and especially one when I came along, I had until I got married, and then I continued with him in my married life until he retired. And so I had the one doctor all the time. About in the last 10 years, I've now had like 4 different doctors because they've come, rotated, and moved. And so I haven't got that same doctor that's been with me for my life.
Well, that's another question. So they're starting to open up a lot of private practices. Like an example would be like, if you're familiar with Wilson, you go in there and right behind the Target, there's a doctor by the name of Trent Wester. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that rings a bell, but he's a private doctor. And then you have these public doctors that are sponsored by the government. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a good thing, or would you be open to a private doctor if you don't have one already?
To a private doctor?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. my fear with the government is when I went in with a doctor some time back, about probably 8 or 10 years ago, the little lady sat me down. I've been going to this doctor for prostate for a number of times. Spent about 30 minutes having to answer all kinds of questions about my brothers, my sisters, my mom, my dad, all that stuff. And when the doctor came in, he said, you answer all those questions? I said, yes. He said, now, you know what good that does for me and you? I said, what? He said, absolutely nothing. He said, it's for the government. He said, down the road, because my family has a lot of heart attacks, at your age and stuff, when you have certain heart attacks a certain way, if the government keeps going the way it is, they're going to control it for an hour. Oh, he's 76 years old. Why are we going to spend a lot of money on him? You know, what treatments, how much are we the government going to spend? And so if it gets taken over by the government, then they dictate who gets what. that's why a lot of people don't realize that some of these other countries and stuff that we're battling against right now. My son is got a radiation in Greenville. He had a guy come from Canada, they tell me, he told me, to do a special treatment for cancer on his lungs. And they asked him, said, why are you here? He said, young man, the machine you're using is 15 minutes from my house in Canada. They tell me it'll be a year before I can get on it. My doctor tells me I don't have about 8 months to live without it. So he came to Wilson. They treated him. He paid for it, and he went back. And so that's part of where a lot of things are not getting out about all these other things. In these other countries, the way it is, of course, controlled by the government, and about it is who gets taken care of and how you fit in that line.
So you do believe that a private practice is, you do believe that a private practice is something that we should move towards rather than government-aided care?
I would certainly lean that way.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I'm good.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
No. I appreciate y'all. Is this just a course y'all are doing, a class you're
this,
doing?
So every year we do this. Well, I've already taken the class. They're taking it next year. It's AP US History. Mm-hmm. And we do this every year for a project, and ECU uses this information to, you know, do research and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But every year it's different questions, and that's what it is. I think it's pretty cool, but
yeah.